Today's reading is taken from Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 20. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. And they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell the disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterwards, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Eternal God, as we have heard your word read to us, and as we come to reflect upon it a bit more, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit in our understanding. Help us to hear what you are wanting to say to us this day. And by your Spirit, help us to respond to it appropriately. In Jesus' name, amen. It's hard to believe that it's been a year since the pandemic began, and we have lamented about all of that. But one of the good things that has come out of it is that certainly for us as East Belfast Methodists, we have worked more closely together. Some of you indeed have been sharing with us online with our Bible studies. We've done work together with the Children's Club in the summer. We've done Holy Week and Easter devotions that have been on the Facebook and the website and all the rest of it during this past week. During our Lenten Bible study series and in our Holy Week devotions, we've been looking at Mark's Gospel account. And that's why today I want us to look at Mark's account of the resurrection, because Mark's account out of the four Gospels is a really fascinating account. Now, we know that Mark is the shortest of the Gospel accounts, and of course his account of the resurrection is also the shortest in all of the Gospels. But chapter 16 here in Mark isn't at all straightforward. We have verses 1 to 8, which recalls how the woman found the empty tomb, and verse 8 tells us how they leave the scene with panic and in fear. And then in your Bibles, we have two additional endings. It's what's called the shorter ending, where the rest of verse 8 is added, and it gives a note of how Jesus sends out his message of salvation throughout the world. Then we have what's called the longer ending between 9 and verse 20, and it's a summary of some of the events we read about in the other gospel accounts: the appearance of Mary Magdalene, the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, the gathering of the 11 on that Sunday evening, the commissioning of the disciples, speaking in tongues, handling of snakes, laying on of hands, all culminating with a note about the ascension of Jesus. So scholars have therefore considered whether or not these two different endings are in fact written by Mark or are later additions. If you've done any reading or reflecting on this particular issue with what biblical scholars say about this, most will conclude that these are not from Mark's hands. These were written by someone else. The evidence is overwhelming that Mark was not the author of these two endings. So here's the thing. If these words were not written by Mark, why were these words added? Well, most think that these two endings were added in the early church to provide a more suitable conclusion. In verse 8, you see, Mark finishes very, very abruptly with a note that Jesus' followers are scared. There's something of unfinished business. The story is not complete here at verse 8 where Mark finishes. Now, of course, there's several theories why Mark would end so suddenly and on a note of confusion and fear. But what if Mark deliberately ended his account with the words, "The woman fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered, and they said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened"? What if it was Mark's intention to leave his account without a "they all lived happily ever after" kind of conclusion? What if Mark deliberately ended the story at this point because the resurrection of Jesus was so powerful and life-changing that perhaps he didn't feel the need to give the other accounts of Jesus meeting people in his risen body? What if Mark ended like this because he wanted to show that the woman who had been so faithful up to this point also succumbed to their fear, just like the male disciples had done? Because the other gospel accounts have the woman running back to tell the other disciples what's happened. There's so many questions for us to ponder here. But let me take you back then to the beginning of Mark's account. Here's what he writes at the very beginning. "This is the good news about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God." You see, throughout his gospel, he has told that story about the life and mission of Jesus, including his death and resurrection. But whereas Matthew, Luke, and John give fuller accounts of what happened and those events that happened after Christ's resurrection, perhaps Mark wanted to conclude in the way he did precisely because the story of Jesus continues. The resurrection of Jesus revealed a new phase in the story of God's salvation. The story didn't end with Christ's resurrection, because as his people, we are part of God's ongoing story, continuing to live it out in the here and now with all that we experience in this life. And just like in Mark's account with the woman being afraid, so we must also admit that there are times when fear grips us. And let's embrace all the various emotions that we experience within our humanity. This life doesn't always conclude with a happily ever after. This isn't some fairy tale that we're talking about. This is real life. Sometimes life is good and easy and straightforward, but sometimes it's really tough and painful and traumatic. But on this Easter Sunday, we are reminded again that through Christ's resurrection, death has been defeated, that we are Easter people living with that hope and that joy of Christ's resurrection. I think that one of the arts of effective preaching lies in good storytelling. After all, we look at the ministry of Jesus, that's how he preached. He told stories, he told parables, and people went into those stories and were engaged with those stories. We love stories. Whether it's reading a good book that you get engrossed with and you engage with the characters, or you have some TV series that you watch. Line of Duty's on again tonight, I can't wait. Whatever it is for us, whether it's a good book or good TV program that we watch, whatever it is, it tells the story. There are some who are wonderfully gifted at painting word pictures for us. And we find ourselves engaged in that story, as part of that story. But our story is part of God's bigger story. And the story is continuing to be written. This last year has reminded us again of what it really means to care for those who are in need. As God's people, we have sought to serve those in our church family and those in our local community by simple and practical ways of delivering sermon material or getting groceries or prescriptions for people or whatever. But being part of God's story, it includes the caring for God's people, but it also includes holding people to account to try to bring in the values of God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. These last couple of days, we've seen terrible rioting again in our streets. It is the work of God's people, the church, to hold politicians to account, to hold people to account for their actions. To get alongside and listen to where the angst is coming from, and to proclaim that it doesn't have to be like this. We don't have to live in death. Because of Christ's resurrection, we live in life and hope. There's always a better way than rioting. We have kept on saying over this past year that the church isn't closed. It's still very much open, continuing in loving and gracious service. Individuals have found new ways of sharing and caring for neighbors in their street. Because the work of establishing God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven is continuing. So maybe Mark finished his story of Jesus exactly in the way he did, because he wanted to leave room for God's people to see themselves as part of the ongoing next chapter of the great story of God at work in the world. For in Christ, God is still writing the story of his people, who are full of love and grace and faithfulness, who with resurrection hope proclaim the good news of Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. And by his Spirit, God brings hope and restoration to all of his creation. Amen. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you that we are Easter people filled with resurrection hope. And we thank you, Lord God, that we are part of your story, an ongoing story of bringing your kingdom to fruition on earth as it is in heaven. Fill each of us with your Holy Spirit again, we pray, as we seek to be salt and light in our communities, as we seek to bring that resurrection hope to people, especially those who feel lost and alone and hopeless. So continue to write your story by your Spirit, we pray, for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen.